Welcome to the Gospel Coalition interview series. I'm your host, Colin Hansen, editorial director for TGC. Earlier this week, the internet was rocked by an undercover video released by the Center for Medical Progress. In the video, Dr. Deborah Nucatola, senior director of medical services for Planned Parenthood, discusses in graphic terms the practice of harvesting fetal organs through abortion in order to donate them to biological research. The Center for Medical Progress claims that because Planned Parenthood receives compensation for fetal organs, it has violated a federal law prohibiting the sale of human body parts. Planned Parenthood has responded that their doctors are not selling organs because any money received is reimbursement for costs associated with the tissue donation. Planned Parenthood has not denied that its doctors routinely harvest organs or that they receive compensation for these, but claims that the doctors' actions are fully legal. Jennifer Lahl is founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture. She worked for 25 years as a pediatric critical care nurse and hospital administrator and has a master's degree in bioethics from Trinity International University. The Center for Bioethics and Culture addresses bioethical issues that most profoundly affect our humanity, especially issues that arise in the lives of the most vulnerable among us. Jennifer Lahl joins me today to talk about the ethics of fetal tissue donation and the moral questions surrounding the issues raised by this viral video. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Colin.
Let's talk. I think this whole issue has caught so many people by surprise, including Christians, including some of them who have been following bioethical issues over the years. So let's talk about how this relates to adult organ donation. What are the general legal parameters around adult organ donation, including what kind of restrictions are there in place to prohibit the buying and selling of organs? And also explain, if you could, Jennifer, whether these same restrictions apply to fetal organ donation.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. And because of my work in nursing for many, many years, I actually took care of many, many people who received organs for transplant and also took care of organ donors. So the wonderful thing about the way organ donation is practiced in the United States is that we have federal laws really governing the protections, if you will, of donors and recipients. So, you know, back in 1984, we passed the National Organ Transplant Act, which has specific language in it, again, a federal law that strictly prohibits the buying and the selling of human organs, which is a good thing because we don't want to create a market of buying and selling body parts. And what's really important for people to know is that the way organ donation is practiced in the United States is that the donor and the recipient are both treated as patients. And both of them have separate medical teams. And that's very important because in the area of medical ethics, we want to make sure that there's no conflicts of interest. You don't want the same person who's donating the organ to be treated by the medical staff that's going to be transplanting that organ, because you don't want to encourage people to make decisions that are against their own self-interest. So there's important firewalls to govern the practice of organ donation, and there's, you know, very tight regulation at the federal level to protect and make sure that organ donation in the United States is, you know, operates on an ethical framework. So, unfortunately, in the case of this very disturbing video that went viral yesterday, is that these laws don't govern and protect and manage, if you will, the practice of organs from unborn children. You know, unborn children do not have the status in the United States as a patient. So they're not, you know, protected by laws that normally would protect patients. And that's really unfortunate. And I think Joe Carter, who writes for the Gospel Coalition, did a great job today in sort of calling out the fact that what was done was evil and horrific and just very disturbing, is sadly, at the current state of law in the United States, it's not illegal. And there's a lot of things that happen really bad day in and day out in the United States. And people say, how can that be? It's because there's no law saying you can't do that.
Okay, then let's talk about what the researchers are supposed to get out of these fetal organs. Help us to understand, what are stem cells and why are they so valuable to researchers? Why would this material be in such high demand?
You know, it's really unfortunate that the human body is worth so much on the open market. You know, you can not, you know, have to imagine too hard without thinking about, you know, trafficking in people and sex trafficking and slave trafficking and children in bondage and all the horrible things. And the reality is that, you know, the human body and all of its parts is really valuable. It's valuable to, you know, just the traffickers that are profiting from the work, but it's also valuable to the researchers. And, you know, we know that some reason why people have a conscience problem with some immunizations for their children is because many vaccinations were developed on aborted fetus tissues. And so you have these people that don't want to immunize their children, rightly or wrongly, because the science was built on unethical foundations. The bench researcher is always going to be wondering about disease and in human models and how to treat different types of illnesses and stuff. So it's not uncommon for researchers to use everything that you can imagine from the human body. And even when that comes from an unborn child, which is really quite tragic. And of course, the child has no ability to give consent to be used for research purposes. But stem cells, if you think of the stem cells that the scientists are after, are sort of the holy grail, if you will, in that the stem cell can be manipulated and made to do all sorts of things in the laboratory so science can understand things. And one of the sad realities of today's culture is science has kind of lost its way, because science could still do research and understand things and look for cures for all kinds of diseases ethically. But because we don't have any protections for the unborn, and that their parts, if you will, are so valuable, that's why Planned Parenthood is in the business of selling this tissue.
Would you describe what was in this video as common? I mean, is this exceptional or is this fairly standard?
Well, that's part of the dirty little secret, right? Is we don't know how common it is. I would imagine it's quite common. I would imagine that this doctor who was in the video was sitting there sipping her wine and eating her salad was not disturbed by this because everybody does this. It's not something that you just kind of grimace and you turn the other way because it happens on a rare occasion. But I would guess, and based on the amount of scientific research that happens every day around the world, that's involved in human cloning research, or it's involved in stem cell research, or it's involved in IVF infertility research on better understanding embryos, that this kind of research happens a lot more than we'd like to think.
Yeah, and the essential argument, we've been hearing this for decades, at least for as long as I've been covering these issues in journalism, that ultimately the ends justify the means. If you object to this, they say, but look at the wonderful things that are happening as a result of this. That's ultimately, I mean, help explain why that ethical calculation is wrong.
Yeah, because there seems to be no bottom to how far we will go in a morally depraved way if we think the ends justify the means. And we saw that over and over again when George Bush was in the White House and we had the huge embryonic stem cell human cloning debate.
That's what I'm referring to. Yeah,
Mike
that's
State what I'm Fox to. Was out on the platforms and Christopher Reeve, Superman. I mean, here we have Superman out there saying, if only this science can move forward, I will be able to walk again. And, you know, we just saw one story after another, you know, and making appeals to suffering, which we as Christians, you know, we understand the power of suffering in our lives and the role that suffering plays in our lives and that Jesus was a great healer. Jesus was very sympathetic to people's suffering and plight. But we also understand the very important aspect that ethics play in. How do we address suffering and how do we find treatments and cures for people? And, you know, do we want to know that the therapy that's benefiting me today was developed because of what happened to these unborn children in some Planned Parenthood clinic? I remember Johnny Erickson Tata saying, I would love to be able to get up out of my wheelchair and walk again, but not because unborn children lost their lives so that I could be cured.
And that when was that ban on embryonic stem cell research lifted?
Well, right after, Bush left the White House and Barack Obama came in and just basically undid everything that Bush had done as far as restricting and limiting funding. I mean, I live in California and we use taxpayer dollars out here to the tune of billions. And I remind people out here in California, so far nobody's been cured. But how many embryos were destroyed and now how many unborn children were destroyed and still, and not that I argue that we need to be curing people by destroying human life, but there's just so much hubris.
The promise was a lot of the cell, but that promise has conveniently not been fulfilled, but the consequences have already been felt. New York University medical ethicist Art Kaplan raised concerns that it would be unethical for doctors and abortion clinics to alter their procedures in order to preserve the organs of the fetus. That gets at the exact issue that was being addressed in the video. Why would that be unethical?
Well, I would have to take issue with Dr. Kaplan in that. I would ask him to back up his ethical concern at the level of the abortion.
Right.
So he's basically saying, as long as you don't, try to, destroy the unborn child in such a way that its, organs can still be harvested, that's okay. He's just basically making the case, which I don't think he has a real leg to stand on morally or ethically, that it's okay just to go in and destroy the human life, but not destroy it in a way that anything profitable could come out of it by buying and, selling tissue.
It sounds arbitrary, right? To get to the point of being able to abort, you have to determine at some level, don't you, that this is not a life, or at least not a life that is worth living by your calculation. And once you've crossed that bridge, I guess I'm not really sure how I can understand what wouldn't be allowed after that point.
Yeah, because on one hand, you could make the relativist argument that, okay, well, if these, unborn children are going to be killed anyway, shouldn't something good come out of that?
Right.
And President Bush, in his decision on his policy on stem cells sort of, threaded the needle by making that case. Here are embryos that have already been destroyed.
Right.
The stem cell lines have already been made. Therefore, with this small little piece of destruction, I will allow funding to go forward on research here. That was just sort of a principled argument, recognizing that we had already gone down that road.
Right.
But as he tried to undo and stop, but of course we were never able to stop, embryonic stem cell research and human cloning research in the United States.
Right. Only the federal funding of it, but only for a time. While states continue to go forward and private entities as well. Why does the timing of the mother's consent matter when it comes to the donation of fetal tissue?
Well, I think they're trying to, again, it sort of seems like an arbitrary firewall that they're trying to create so that this good that perhaps could come out of the research doesn't taint her decision-making. If the woman just comes in and says, this is my decision, I want to terminate my pregnancy and have this abortion, then and after then she can be asked, okay, once once the abortion has been done, would you be willing to let the remains of the child be used for research? Of course, I'm sure it's presented in, we're going to be able to, solve all the problems of humankind and research is going to move forward. But I think it's just an arbitrary firewall to make sure that we can say we didn't coerce her and that was not part of her decision. And it was just a free decision that she made.
One last question here for you, Jennifer. Even if Planned Parenthood has not broken any laws, which seems like you're saying they have not, which has been surprising many people to know that it does not appear that they have broken those laws. But if they haven't broken those laws when it comes to tissue and organ donation, why should Americans still be concerned?
Well, I do think that there's a case to be made on how do we want to build our scientific research medical future, and that there's always a need and the importance of building any discovery and research and advancements on an ethical and moral framework. You know, science can do that. It's done it in the past, and I think, you know, maybe this is a time now, because of this story and because people are becoming more aware that not only does this happen, but that it's happening legally. I'll be interested to see, how Washington reacts. How do our lawmakers react? You know, you've seen a lot of noise about calling for investigations. It's going to be hard to make a case to investigate something that's not illegal.
Right.
So they'll go in and say, yeah, it's happening and no laws were broken and they made money, but they made money because they, you know, worked within the valuable consideration language and they just had their costs reimbursed. No tissues were bought and sold and, you know. So, but I do think it will be interesting to see how this story, what the fallout is these next few days, which I think will be pretty critical. And will this just be something by next week? We'll be on to a new news cycle and back to business as usual, and this won't be important anymore. I don't know.
It seems like it's very important for the pro-choice cause or for abortion to be legal, for it to continue to not be discussed, and for the details to not be shared. And I wonder if that's a major factor in why this story has exploded. But that's, I think, one of our hopes, that perhaps this has pricked consciences in a way of saying we want to imagine that it's safe, legal, and rare happening to other women in ways that we don't want to discuss. And this brings it right to you to see it in all of its graphic horror. So I share that interest in watching to see what will happen from here, but also concerned that those consciences may go back to where they were before. Jennifer Lall is the founder and president of the Center for Bioethics and Culture. She's been my guest here for the Gospel Coalition. Jennifer, thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
For more resources from the Gospel Coalition, visit our website at www.thegospelcoalition.org.